And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests is discussing a fascinating topic, no two of which are alike. My next guest helps corporate executives and small business owners make more profitable decisions by interpreting economic data. We'll examine whether the economy is recovering or headed for a double-dip recession and what you can do about it. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Bill Connolly is a consultant who connects the dots between the economy and business decisions, helping corporate executives and small business owners make better decisions. Dr. Connolly holds a Ph.D. in economics from Duke University. He is a principal of Connolly Consulting, LLC. He's a chief economist of ABCinvesting.com and has previously been senior vice president at First Interstate Bank. Dr. Connolly is author of the book Busynomics, From the Headlines to Your Bottom Line, How to Profit from Any Economic Cycle. He's been quoted in all the major business publications, Fortune, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and he's been interviewed on the NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, CNBC, CNN, as well as many local stations. Joining us from the Pacific Northwest, hi, Bill, how are you today?
Hey, Billy, great to chat with you.
Well, thank you for being my guest, and thank you for helping us dig into some of the more pressing economic issues that we see cropping up in the headlines today. Let's take a look at some of the leading business headlines to determine the impact that it might have on some of my small business and mid-sized business listeners out there in Santa Barbara and Ventura. Foremost in the headlines right now has got to be the Greek debt crisis. I mean, one day there's a plan to rescue Greece. The next day the Greek people want a referendum on whether or not they're going to stay in the European Union. The markets are vacillating. They're fluctuating wildly over this. Banks are refusing to loan money because of their exposure overseas. So I guess my question to you is, first of all, will Greece stay in the economic union, and will the Greek sovereign debt crisis spread to other countries as well?
Yeah, will Greece stay in the EU? Let me give back up a step and talk about why it's important, if
okay.
I may.
Sure.
The we are cruising down in the United States with sluggish to moderate growth, high unemployment, people worrying about a double dip, and the major risk to the economy, the largest single risk to the U.S. economy today, is coming from Europe. So we study Greece in order, just like we did the classics, we study Greece to understand what's going on today in the United States in Ventura County. And Greece is in a tough spot. They've been borrowing money because they spend it faster than they generate tax revenue, which maybe sounds kind of familiar to those of us. But their economy has been so weak and their government spending so strong that they're not on a sustainable path. They've got a boatload of debt outstanding, and so there's this plan that the folks who lent Greece money take a 50% haircut, and then the European Union bails out their own banks, who are the lenders to Greece. And maybe everybody muddles through, and everybody muddling through is my best guess, but there are 18 ways that this deal can fall through at this point.
Well, there certainly are, because you have one monetary unit, which is the European Central Bank, and you've got 19 fiscal policies running around there separately. But I want to come back to something that you said in setting this up, Bill, and the greatest threat right now to the United States is Greece, and certainly Greece is a great threat. But something that's flying low underneath the radar right now is the amount of Chinese debt that's out there. A lot of the Chinese banks have been making terrible loans to their state-run companies that are in China right now, and they are facing a debt crisis as well. We're not hearing as much about that. Do you think that the Chinese sovereign debt issue will come up to rear us as soon as we get this Greek thing resolved? All of a sudden, China's going to blip onto the radar?
Well, I think China, and I'll roll in India as well, Asia is our second greatest risk. I'm not so much worried about their debt. What I'm worried about is that both of those big countries are trying to rein in inflation, tightening their monetary policy a little bit, and that, if it's done perfectly, will keep their economy functioning smoothly at a lower rate of inflation. If it's not done perfectly, they're at risk of a slower growth, maybe even a full-blown recession. And for those of us on the West Coast, we do more trade with Asia than the rest of the country does. So we have less exposure to Europe, more exposure to Asia. I still think if you're in Ventura County, the average person ought to worry a little bit more about Europe, but certainly Asia ought to be on the radar screen of anybody who is sensitive to economic fluctuation.
My guest is Bill Connerly. We're discussing economics. Now, Bill, back to the EU, back to the whole issue of Europe, and in particular Greece. So you think that Europe is going to muddle along, the EU will sort of work this thing out. Do you think that Greece's problems are going to spill over to other countries? Most notably, right now, they're talking about Italy getting a contagion from the Greek debt crisis. How likely is it that this is going to spread to Italy, Spain, Portugal, Ireland, and all of the weaker sisters in the EU?
Yeah, we talked about the pigs, Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. And that is the worry. Greece is a really small country, beautiful country, wonderful people, but a small country. Italy is a pretty big powerhouse, and we make a lot of jokes about it, but within the whole framework of the European economy, Italy is a very big player, and an Italian problem really throws a monkey wrench into the economy of the whole continent. I also think that Italy will muddle through, and this, part of this comes from my age. I've seen a lot of crises come and go, and most of the time we muddle through. Occasionally we don't, but muddle through is a good sort of default bet when you don't know what's going to happen. And I don't have anything close to 100% confidence that we're going to muddle through, but that's my best guess right now.
Well, we need to be concerned about Italy because it will directly affect America. Remember, Chrysler was bought by Fiat, which is a major manufacturer in Italy. So there's some direct contagion effect that might spill over to the United States if Italy were to go down. And that's certainly something to be concerned about. I guess a follow-on question for you, Bill, is if the EU does start to collapse, if they don't muddle along, what's the impact that's going to have on the American banks right now who have some exposure to Europe?
Yeah, American banks have lent some money to the European banks, in some cases to the European government, and there are also some derivatives contracts that go back and forth, and we're not quite sure what the extent of that is. We don't have good reporting on the derivatives. So this would be another hit on American banks. The positive news about American banks is those that have survived now have recapitalized and could sustain some losses. What I worry about more is the financial crisis triggering a full-blown European recession. And if Europe goes into recession, odds are that the United States will follow along.
Okay, and then just last question on this topic, and we'll move on to something else. What is going to be the impact on the U.S. dollar? We've seen the U.S. dollar getting stronger in the last couple of weeks. If we continue down the path, as you say, as we muddle along, how is this going to impact the strength or the weakness of the U.S. dollar?
Yeah, well, this is going to sound like a weird answer, but if Europe succeeds, the dollar falls. And you'd think Europe succeeding is good news, and it is. But global investors flock to the dollar when they're scared because the dollar is still a global safe haven. And the dollar has had some strength every time the European crisis flares up. So if Europe calms down, then investors around the world are going to say, okay, I've had enough dollar-denominated assets. I can now diversify my currency holdings. And I think that aside from the European crisis, the dollar goes down maybe 5 to 10% a year for several years.
All right. That's good to know. My guest is Bill Connerly. All right, Bill, changing subject, but keeping on the idea of counterintuitive, I want to talk about two very underreported topics that have been announced at the last two Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meetings. The first announcement was two meetings ago where Bernanke said that we were going to keep interest rates low for at least the next 2 years. He made that very, very plain. And then at the last meeting before this one, they are meeting this week, as a matter of fact, he made the announcement that they were going to sell 10-year bonds in order to buy 30-year bonds, thereby flattening out the yield curve, which hurts our American banks because it means the American banks have a more difficult time making money. And that's why you see Bank of America trying to make money by charging a $5 debit card fee and other ways to bring in revenue. So what are going to be the implications of these two Federal Reserve decisions on the 2012 presidential campaign and presidential election, do you think?
Yeah, the Fed is trying to help the economy. I don't think it's doing as much as it could be doing or should be doing, but they're certainly keeping interest rates low, and now having pushed short-term interest rates to approximately zero, they're working on long-term interest rates. If the Fed could get the economy moving, the president's reelection prospects would be a lot better. And you do a statistical analysis of past election results, and the presidents are not evaluated by what happened in the 4 years of their term. The voters tend to just look at what's been the change in the unemployment rate over the last four quarters before the election. So if the economy were to get going, then the president would be rewarded with reelection. But I think if the unemployment stays high at 9%, or even drops to like 8%, which is my forecast, I think that on the economic side, the voter is going to be very disappointed in Barack Obama. They might like him better than the Republican candidate. We don't know who that candidate is, but it's going to be really tough sledding for the president unless the economy magically rebounds.
Well, Bill, you made a very interesting point in that answer where you talked about the American public looks at the last four quarters. Ventura County is the home to the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. Many of us forget that in Reagan's first term, his first 3 years economically were dismal. They were a disaster. And the economy only started to turn around in the last 18 months of his first term. And I think that's what helped to propel him to victory in his seeking reelection as the president. So a very good observation there. But in that answer, you said the Federal Reserve is doing all that it can. I guess my follow-on question is, does Ben Bernanke have any bullets left in the gun? Is there anything else that he can do if Europe does decide to go down the drain? They do not muddle along, as you put it. Does he have any other bullets that he can use in order to prevent us from slipping into another recession?
Yeah, I think the Fed could be doing more and should be doing more. We're going to get theoretical here for a moment. The old Keynesian viewpoint says that the Federal Reserve can push interest rates down or up, and that's how it changes the economy. But the monetarist, the Milton Friedman approach is it's not so much interest rates, it's what you do to the money supply. And the Federal Reserve has been, in the last few months, really increasing the money supply. That's good. And they could just keep doing that more and more. And I think that has the potential to get us out. But the Fed is hearing voices that worry about inflation, and they are the victim of cheap shots from some of the Republican candidates, and a few of their own members are nervous, and they're saying, gee, monetary policy will not work. I think that the Fed could do more, but they're hesitant to take the actions that I would take.
My guest is Bill Connolly. He's a consultant that helps us connect the dots between the economy and the business decisions. And one last topic, Bill, before I let you go. It's this whole Occupy Wall Street movement. The protesters are headline news right now. What does the movement mean for businesses in America? I mean, does the 99% movement pit small business and large business owners against the rest of the population? And what are going to be some of the implications of this as we go forward into the year 2012?
Well, I think it shows a strong dissatisfaction, there aren't many people who are sitting back right now fat and happy. Even the 1% have seen their incomes down, they lost a lot of wealth in the stock market decline. Nobody is really satisfied right now. The Occupy Wall Street people have, I think, some valid criticism about the cronyism that has led to favors and the bailout of the banks. But what's weird to me is they are unhappy with how business interests are trying to seize control of the government. Then they want the government to have a bigger and bigger role in the economy, which just to me sounds like we're going to see more and more of the special interests seizing control of the government. If you don't want the special interest to control the government, you ought to limit what the government does to the basic functions of, you know, police and national defense, and you'll have a lot less of that kind of problem.
Well, it certainly is counterintuitive logic that they're applying, but I guess my bigger question is, because many of my listeners are small and mid-sized business owners, is this whole Occupy Wall Street movement, the 99% versus the 1%, a lot of people view anybody who owns a business, large or small, as being a capitalist and falling into that 1%, and you and I both know that most small businesses do not fall into that 1%. But are we starting to see divisions along rich and poor, you know, haves and have-nots, and how divisive is that going to be for our country in the next couple of years?
You know, there are always some people who are unhappy, and I think some of the Occupy Wall Street people are as equally focused on the rich as on the poor. And to tell you the truth, I don't care how rich Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or Warren Buffett is. I think it's reasonable to be concerned about the less fortunate. But the good question for the Occupy Wall Street folks is, hey, if we could help the poor, but helping the poor would help the rich even more, would you be for it or against it? You know, and I'm like, yeah, if it helps the poor, let's do it. But they would be hesitant to help the poor in a way that also helps the rich because they are so antagonistic towards the rich. I think they would mouth the right words and say, oh, we support small business. But then when they looked at a financial statement of a small business owner, they'd say, he's not the guy we had in mind.
Right. All right. My guest has been Bill Connerly. He's been helping us put today's business headlines to work for us. Bill, if people are intrigued by what you have to say and they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Yeah, best place is my website, ConnerlyConsulting.com. Connerly is spelled with only one N. But if you Google Bill Connerly, you'll find me. You'll find the website with a link to the blog where I offer some daily comments. You'll also find a link to my book, Bizonomics, which helps business leaders connect the dots between what's going on in the economy and their own profit-making decisions.
And that's all at Connerly, C-O-N-E-R-L-Y, consulting.com. Bill, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great chatting with you, Billy.
Pleasure. Take care.